In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When you think about prayer, do you think about a specific prayer? The Lord's Prayer is the best-known Christian prayer in the world today and throughout history. It's one of the first prayers that we teach our children. We say the Lord's Prayer every Sunday during our divine service. Many of us pray the Lord's Prayer each day as part of our personal devotions. Committee meetings and other events here at First Trinity Church usually end with the Lord's Prayer. We love the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember a controversy a few years ago when Pope Francis said that the wording of the Lord's Prayer was changing in the Roman Catholic Church? The change was that "lead us not into temptation" became "let us not fall into temptation." Laity and clergy, both Roman Catholic and Protestant, weighed in with opinions on the proposed change, both for it and against it. Some were knee-jerk reactions against any change in the church. Others were knee-jerk reactions for any change in the church. That controversy seems to have died out rather quickly. But what did that, and does that petition, "lead us not into temptation," mean to us? As Lutherans, we're not under the authority of the Pope. But we recognize the historical roots that we share with the Roman Catholic Church and many other things. The Roman Catholic Church is the world's largest Christian community. And when the Pope speaks, people listen, whether they agree with him or whether they follow him or not. What he says does affect and reflect on us and all Christians. The crux of the matter, and I think it's a question that many of us have had, is that translation, "lead us not into temptation," can be confusing. We kind of know intuitively that God does not lead us into temptation. That would seem to be Satan's role. God, like a good father, helps us when we are tempted. True, but does that justify the change to "let us not fall into temptation"? To answer that, let's look a bit at what we know about the petition, "let us not fall into temptation, let us not lead us not into temptation," and why it matters. Jesus would have spoken the Lord's Prayer in the Aramaic language to his disciples. That was the common language that the people used in that time and place. The New Testament, of course, was written in Greek. And the English translation of the Bible, known as the King James Version, was the standard English text for centuries and still influences modern translations today. But the version of the Lord's Prayer that we actually say comes from the Anglican Book of Common Prayer that predated the King James Bible. The debate about this petition of the Lord's Prayer centers on the Aramaic and Greek words that come to us translated in English as temptation. We must always keep in mind that the Bible is God's word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and always perfectly true. Biblical translations and our interpretations are not infallible, though, so we must be cautious not to let our thinking taint the word of God. The same Greek word used in the petitions of the Lord's Prayer we're considering was also used in the Gospels as they recount Jesus talking with Satan in the wilderness at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We know this as the temptation of Christ. The devil was tempting Jesus to sin. Now, that same word can also refer to testing. Jesus was being tested to see if he really had what it took to be the Messiah, to be God's suffering servant. Moreover, there is a sense in which our Christian faith is tested daily by what we suffer, by sins that would tempt and seduce us. Preceding Christ coming to earth again, the whole world will undergo what are referred to as trials and tribulations before the great and awful day of the Lord. The sense of temptation, as we normally understand it, and testing, as the trials we Christians do and will experience, are both included in that petition. We are asking God to help us avoid all temptations and to endure all trials and the tests that come upon us. The Bible and our Lutheran confessions bear that out. In the Epistle to James, the first chapter, the 13th and 14th verses, we read, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed." Luther, similarly in his small catechism, explains it this way: God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, or other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. End of quote. And famously, St. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that God does not allow anyone to be tempted beyond one's strength. God provides for us the way to escape these trials. We know that God is more powerful than anything, even the devil. Christ's death won the decisive victory over him. But God allows the devil to accuse us of our sins and test our faith, as he did with Job, as he did with Jesus. This is so that we may come to know that our ultimate dependence is on God, and in that way grow in faith, patience, and character. Interestingly, a more literal temptation, a little more literal translation of the verse that follows, "Lead us not into temptation," what we usually say, "but deliver us from evil," actually it would be, "but deliver us from the evil one." Greek grammar and theology would justify that translation too. This congregation, several years ago, used a hymnal compiled by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and two other Lutheran denominations. That hymnal was called the Lutheran Book of Worship. You may remember it as the Green Book. The hymnal included an alternate contemporary form of the Lord's Prayer. This version changed words like "thy" to "your," which is consistent with how we speak English today. It said, "Your kingdom come, not thy kingdom come." It also rendered, "but deliver us from evil," as "deliver us from the evil one." Such a translation and other variant translations, such as the one in our gospel reading today, are not a problem as long as they are faithful. Any one translation does not have to be the translation used everywhere by everyone. Our Lutheran mandate is to preach and worship in the language of the people. But you wouldn't want to force anyone to use that or any other translation against their will, unless, of course, the translation being used was heretical. And there are some heretical versions of the Lord's Prayer out there. I hope that your ears have never been assaulted by those travesties. These issues all point to the question of how Christians should make decisions about liturgy and the words that we use in worship, such as the Lord's Prayer. And that's important because the way we pray affects what we believe. Ideally, we Lutherans say that all matters of doctrine should be determined by the Word of God. We cannot speak where Scripture is silent. We cannot overrule the Bible. How that gets worked out among us is complicated. Especially, though, in our Missouri Synod, much authority is entrusted, within reason, to pastors and their congregations in matters of worship for such things as which version of the Lord's Prayer we use. Our preference in matters not commanded by Scripture are usually almost always for the traditional. A big problem with changes in church life, for instance, changes in the Lord's Prayer, is that they confuse people. It's not just that nobody likes change, it's that we need consistency. C.S. Lewis, who was a layman, compared liturgy to dancing. He said, "It's not really dancing if you have to keep thinking about the steps," meaning that our worship gets bogged down if we have to keep thinking about what we're saying and doing rather than just naturally saying and doing it. In a world where things are changing every day, we need permanence. Some things do need to change sometimes. We're always looking for positive modifications. But change, just for novelty's sake, is not good. We can keep on using the classic words of the Lord's Prayer because we know what they mean. We know what we are praying for. That's our language, our native Christian language. Of course, rather than thinking too much about parsing the words themselves, maybe we should be concentrating on what they mean. There are temptations all around us. Someone once quipped, "I don't need anyone to lead me into temptation. I can find it all by myself." And recently I saw on Facebook someone saying, "Lead me not into temptation. Who am I kidding? I know a shortcut. Follow me." Left on our own, we would fall into temptation hard. Worst of all, we don't even realize often that what we're doing is wrong. Satan has confused us to the point that we think wrong is right, or at least we can convince ourselves that it's right. We cannot save ourselves from these sins and temptations. Our situation would be hopeless without the cross of Christ. So we ask God to protect us, to not let our hearts become so hardened that he gives us over to our sinful desires. We look for Christ to lead us not into temptation, to save us from the time of trial, and to deliver us from evil and the evil one. You can use Jesus' words to convey that request to God, or you can use someone else's words, or you can use your own words, but the bottom line is pray, pray, pray. And in time, God will lift you up and put you on the right path. Amen.